Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Bechoros Daf Chaf Vav, Bechoros 26. Today's Daf Yomi, we begin the fourth chapter of Tractate Bechoros, and the chapter is called Ad Kama, and it begins with our Mishnah, which says, Ad Kama Yisrael Chayavin Litapel Babachor, Had Babachor. So until how long must a Jew today, how long are they obligated to care for the firstborn animal? So as a background to this Mishnah, we have to say that the gift that there are, we've already been learned about, there are 24 gifts that are given to a Kohen, the Matnos Kohuna. We studied that in Tractate Chulin, and the Bechor is one of those gifts. So the gifts that are given to a Kohen, they need to be given in a way of honor, derech kavod, because it says with respect to the gifts that they are given for honor and glory. And just like we give a they have to be given a mashcha, just like they are given as gifts to a king. You're not going to give the king a gift which makes him work harder. And this is first of all, a good musar haskel for all of us. When you give somebody a gift, it's supposed to be a gift, not something to make them work harder. And so, therefore, the gifts to the Kohen of the firstborn, it can't be something that the Kohen has to work hard for it. And so, therefore, you have to, when you give the gift to the Kohen, it should be something where the hard work has already been cared for. When the animal is first born, the animal requires more attention, and a person, it's harder to feed the animal. The animal can't just graze on its own. And so therefore, as a result of this, the owner the non-Kohen needs to engage in the firstborn until such time as, prior to giving it to the Kohen, until such time where it's able to graze on its own and where it's truly a gift to the Kohen. And so our Mishnah talks about what is the amount of time that a non-Kohen must engage with this firstborn animal and care for it before he gives it to the Kohen. So our Mishnah says Ad Kama Yisrael Chayavin, and we're talking about today, nowadays, but not when the time of the temple is standing. That's how Rashi understands it. Until how long must a person engage with the firstborn? And by a daka, by a sheep or a goat, it has to be 30 days. By a gas, our Mishnah says, by a cow, it has to be 50 days. Whereas Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi says, b'daka shlosha chadashim. By a small animal, by a sheep or a goat, it needs to be 3 months. So like I said earlier, Rashi says we're talking about nowadays, because if it was the time of the temple, then immediately the Bechor animal could be brought immediately after 8 days, because you have to wait, first you have to wait 8 days, and only then are you able to bring it, only after Shemoneh Yamim. This is based upon Leviticus chapter 22, verse 27, and after that, what you do is you sprinkle the blood, you bring its inner parts on the altar, and then the flesh can be eaten by the Kohen. But if the animal has a blemish, it wouldn't be brought, it would just be given to the Kohen to eat. But today, nowadays, this firstborn, if it was a tam, if it had no blemish on it, then we'd have to wait until it acquires a blemish on its own, because you're not allowed to make a blemish on it, as we're going to say in the Gemara on 33b, and then the Kohanim could eat it. So therefore, Rashi says we're talking about today, where the firstborn is not able to be brought. And so that's how Rashi understands it. But the commentaries all struggle with this Rashi, because as Rashash says in the name of the Griz, that our Mishnah is explicit that this is also talking about in the time when the Beis HaMikdash was talking about, because it says in our Mishnah, later on in our Mishnah, it says these words, "U'b'shas HaMikdash Im HaYotamim." So it says explicitly that we're talking about the time of the Mishnah. So how do we deal with this Rashi? So some want to say that we're talking about the first clause of the Mishnah versus the second clause, that the first clause is talking about when the temple's not standing, and the second clause is talking when the temple is standing. The Shita Mekubetzes gives a different answer, and he records an opinion that Rashi is talking about a tam nowadays in which you're not able to bring it. And then he adds that we could also talk about that even in the time of the temple, it could have been taken place where the owner was far away from the Jerusalem, and so therefore he wasn't able to bring it as an offering right away. And so therefore, since he would only go up in the festival, therefore you had to wait even the time of the temple before bringing it. The Or Zeruah writes that nowadays, let's say we're talking about a situation where where let's say the Kohen doesn't want to take this gift. Is he required, is the Kohen obligated to take this gift? So this is something the Or Zeruah discusses. The Or Zeruah living in Vienna in the 13th century, or Austria in the 13th century, the Or Zeruah writes that nowadays, if the Kohen does not want to accept the firstborn after these time periods because of the great, you know, the great struggle or the great work or effort combined, then we don't force him to accept it. Then at that point, we don't force him. So that's what the Or Zeruah says, that the Kohen has the option. However, the Rosh came after the Or Zeruah, the end of the 13th century, brings the name of the Maharam, came a little bit before the Rosh, but also after the Or Zeruah, they say no. They say the Kohen is obligated to accept the gift that is being offered to him. And if he refuses to accept it, it's like he's being disrespectful to the gifts of the Kohuna, and it's like he doesn't want any part of them. And so therefore, he says the Kohen is obligated to accept these gifts that are being offered to him. And the Trumas Hadesh and Yisrael Isserlin, living in the same region, but a couple of centuries later, Trumas Hadesh writes that really the Or Zeruah is not arguing with the Maharam and the Rosh. He agrees that the Kohen is prohibited. He's just saying that we don't force him to accept it. So we see from here that, first of all, we see some mussar about how to give a gift and accept a gift. That a person is supposed to give the gift in a way that it's easy for the person to accept it and to work on it with ease. And second of all, the Kohen has this opportunity for the mitzvah. It will be very disrespectful for the Kohen to refuse the gift, refuse an honor that he's being given because he's a Kohen, because it's a gift not only to this Kohen, it's a gift for the Kohanim in general, representing a divine transmission back from Aaron. So therefore, the Kohen must accept this gift.